This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. The year 2024 marks the 100th anniversary of Toastmasters International. And this summer in mid-August, the Toastmasters International Convention will be held in the city where it all got started, Anaheim, California. And I have the distinct honor today of speaking with the opening keynote speaker. His name is Sean Ellis, and he'll be kicking off this Toastmasters Centennial event. Sean Ellis is a renowned motivational keynote speaker, dynamic storyteller, and modern-day philosopher, inspiring those looking to navigate an ever-changing world. Sean has over 20 years of leadership and entrepreneurial experience, guiding leaders and teams towards adaptability and resilience, offering insights rooted in mindfulness, neuroscience, and psychology. Sean's experiences include leading a successful business and parenting a neurodivergent child. These experiences have shaped his signature philosophy of, quote, mastering the moments, unquote, to live a better life, build a better business, and offer real-world perspectives that resonate and inspire. Sean's upcoming book, Mastering the Moments, illustrates how embracing each moment is a path to resilience, growth, and fulfillment, and will be released later this summer. Beyond speaking, Sean leads a boutique consulting firm that helps organizations elevate team morale and achieve excellence in sales, customer service, innovation, and other key areas. And there's more. Sean also hosts the Better Life Business Podcast, where he and guest thought leaders share valuable perspectives for personal and professional growth. Sean's profile, Meet Sean Ellis, subtitled Keynote Speaker for the 2024 International Convention, reflects on the values of resilience, is featured in the June 2024 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Coming us today from Columbus, Ohio, Sean Ellis, welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast.
Thank you so much, Greg. I am honored to be here. That is a brilliant introduction. I appreciate that. But no, I'm honored and grateful to be here with you, to be speaking at the convention, and I'm excited about our conversation today.
It's pretty exciting, and hopefully people will get to meet you and they'll be inspired to sign up for the convention and see it live in Anaheim or perhaps take it in virtually. Now, to kick things off, Sean, I found it fascinating that you started your career with aspirations in music, but then you ended up transitioning to a different kind of stage. Can you share a little bit about that journey? And if applicable, how did those early experiences in music influence your approach to public speaking?
Well, it's a great question, Greg, and it has been a wild journey for sure. When I, as a kid growing up, I was the shyest kid in school, and I would have never imagined that I would one day make a living standing on stage, speaking to, you know, to large audiences, but somehow getting on stage to play music, that felt okay to me. I guess maybe it was the fact that there would be a band there. And anyway, yeah. So I moved to Nashville when I was 17 with big dreams to become a country music star and tour the world and all the things. And it was sort of a combination of things as I got to Nashville and realized maybe this isn't the path that I thought it was, that it was going to be. And also I was surrounded by some brilliant talent. I've got some friends who play for some well-known artists today, and just realizing maybe that's not the path for me. But at the same time, I took a human resources class and wrote a paper about motivating your workforce to perform, and really fell in love with that intersection between life and work, and how do organizations create the best workplace for their people? How do we as workers show up and find meaning and joy doing what we call, quote, work? So the book is Mastering the Moments, talking about moments. There were definitely some key moments there that led to that shift. And I still didn't know what to do with that. I considered some different career paths, and from management consulting, thought about becoming a pastor at one point, and then landed in this crazy world of speaking, actually working behind the scenes with speakers first. But I think that's what gave me the exposure and to the speaking business. And I eventually found a message that I cared about and found the confidence to step out. But yeah, definitely an interesting journey, not at all what I thought it would be. And I share a little bit about that when I speak usually. And I ask people in the audience, you know, raise your hand if you're doing exactly what you thought you'd be doing when you were 17 years old. And there's usually maybe a couple people raise their hand, but I find that most of us have a journey like that, where we set out on this path and then somehow it we see where it goes.
I know it's audio only, but my hand's raised.
Yeah. Wow.
I love what you just said, and it's in the article as well. I fell in love with the intersection between life and business. Can you just elaborate a little on that? What does that look like?
Yeah. It's a weird, you know, the wording there, the intersection between life and business, obviously it's all part of our life. I mean, so, you know, life is 100% of it, and business and work goes into that. This came about, this was probably 25 years ago or 30 years ago when I wrote that paper. So there was, you know, some different philosophies in life and business at that time. But this idea that we would, you know, that we've got our home life, we've got our personal life, and then we kind of set that aside and we show up at work and we go do our thing at work and then we come back home. And this idea that, you know, our home life, our personal life, that's where all the fun is, but then we go to work and, well, we just got to get through it. Let's find a way. And that just, it didn't sit well with me even then, because it's like, well, I want to be able to enjoy all of it and not have these different compartments. So that resonated with me personally, but then also just thinking of others, like how do we find meaning so I can show up to work and it feels like it's still me there. It's still me living my life and finding meaning and purpose and all those things. And then at the same time for companies, for the leaders in these organizations to help them see that, you know, see that their workers, their employees, that they're bringing their whole life to work, that they're a real whole person. So honoring that piece of it, that's kind of what I think of when I think of that. And that's been the journey, is how to kind of take this holistic approach to life and work and business and find meaning in all of it.
That's great. Again, the article, your profile, it's full of these small little phrases and nuggets and even mantras. In fact, one of them is the moment matters. And I find that to be a very powerful mantra. Could you perhaps maybe define that and enlighten us with a time or a specific moment that significantly impacted your life and how you shaped it to your advantage?
Sure. Well, it was like everything, it was a journey to get there, but it was a time and season in my life where just I wasn't happy in my own work, and I was in an unhealthy marriage, and I was young and just trying to put it all together. We were also right in the midst of the Great Recession, so, which seems like nothing compared to the global pandemic that we went through more recently, but at the time it was a big deal. And so just with, in the midst of all that, I was just kind of taking inventory of my life. And it was also about the time that I was deciding, like, hey, I think I'm supposed to be doing something more. I just felt this inner call, if you want to use that word, or desire. I just knew that there was something more. So I was coming around to, I think I need to be speaking myself. Whereas at the time I was working behind the scenes with these speakers, and I was thinking, well, what would I talk about? Like, what, you know, where do I have authority and credibility? What am I passionate about? And it was, we'll use that word intersection again. It was the intersection of all that that I was taking inventory. And that's where the phrase, this moment matters, came to me. And I wrote that in my journal. And it really, it's one of those things, the book that will be out this summer, as you mentioned, Mastering the Moment, is stories and lessons from all these seemingly simple, insignificant, mundane moments in life, but they really turned out to be true turning points in life. And that was one where that phrase came to me. At the time, I thought, well, this moment matters, meaning at the most basic level, whether we're talking about customer service or relationships or parenting, we know that everything can change in a moment. The words you speak, the actions you take, whatever you do in this moment, we know that can make a difference. It could make or break a customer interaction, for example. So it started as simple as that, but then it really, as I started down that path, a friend of mine said, have you ever heard of mindfulness? Which now seems like the most obvious thing, but at the time I hadn't. And so I looked into mindfulness and I realized, oh, there's this whole field dedicated to this moment. Turns out I wasn't the first person to have the idea that this moment matters. But that took me down this path to realize that it's not, you know, it's so much more this moment. It's so much more than just what you say or what you do, but really that life is lived in this moment. Everything is happening in this moment, this present moment. So how can we be more present and more engaged for more of the moments? And for me, in the midst of that challenging season of life, what I realized, well, in this moment, while there are all these circumstances that any one of them could weigh me down, and truly I did. I wrote in my journal a little bit before that I felt lost, empty, depressed, disappointed, and all those things. But I thought, in this moment, it hit me like there have been times where if I just settle in this moment, into this moment, and allow it to be what it is, then there's peace here in this moment. And if I shift my thoughts and shift my focus, I can find joy in this moment. So really, I look at it, this moment matters to me as like opening the door to everything, and getting back to that idea of living a better life, building a better business. To me, I grew up on a farm, so I guess I'm sort of simple-minded at the core. So to me, there's nothing more simple than this moment, yet there's also nothing deeper, nothing more meaningful than this moment if we can really step into it. And of course, as easy as it sounds, we live in a world that's moving so fast and changing so fast. It's obviously easier said than done, but that's a little bit of the background or the origin of that phrase and what it means to me.
Well, it sounds like you've found the right recipe. You speak of mindfulness, and it sounds like mindfulness is one of those keys to becoming resilient. And I'm curious, for you, how do you incorporate mindfulness into, let's say, your daily routine? And what advice would you give for individuals who are really struggling to find resilience in their lives?
Well, that's a great question. My approach to mindfulness now is different than it was 12, 13 years ago when I kind of first got on the mindfulness journey, I guess you could say. I meditate, but I'm not somebody who meditates 20 minutes twice a day, and which I think is amazing. There, the science behind it, the studies proves that there are tremendous benefits to doing that. I know it's also challenging to fit into 20-minute meditations for a lot of us. So I've always, in everything I've done, I've tried to take kind of a real-world approach. How can we integrate this into our lives in a way that is realistic? Not to say that the other one is unrealistic, but it is more challenging, obviously. So for me, it's, you know, finding spaces where I can take a couple minutes to breathe, even if I'm, you know, if I'm walking down the hall or walking through the house, or if I'm outside looking up and taking in the sky, whether it's cloud formations or blue skies, or looking up at the trees, looking at flowers. This more informal side of mindfulness, as opposed to the formal side being true meditation. And I saw this with my young son. Well, I say young, he's 14 now, but he was a big part of this journey, and really kind of, I call him my little guru, because a lot of the lessons that I've learned about mindfulness while I've, you know, done studies and classes and courses in mindfulness, neuroscience, psychology, all those things. But some of the best lessons have come from watching this young boy navigate life. And I saw when he was young, I would see him, he would want to play in the sink and just turn on the water in the sink and just kind of play in the water with his hands and rinse the dishes maybe or something like that. And I realized, wow, that's meditation to him. That's something that calms him and brought stillness to him. So just realizing that being mindful, it can be meditation, but it can also be just slowing down, breathing, noticing where you are, what's going on. And back to your question about how people can use that to cultivate more resilience. You know, I heard a phrase somewhere along the way that somebody said, are you okay right now? And if your answer is yes, and I could say that to anyone who's listening to this conversation right now, are you okay right now? And hopefully you are. If you've, you know, got time to, you're in a safe place and you can listen to this interview, this conversation, then if you're okay right now, well, then the good news is there's only right now. The truth behind that we're always living in this moment, and a lot of the stresses and the challenges that bog us down, they're created in our mind. It's like we're bringing things from the past into this moment. We're bringing, you know, things from the future that haven't even happened, that most of which never will happen, but it's just our imagination creating these fears and worries for us. So if we can slow down and breathe, not only does it does things in our body as far as changing our biochemistry, but just allowing us to be present in this moment and then to say, I'm okay right now, and to take that breath and feel your breath. That doesn't solve everything, but at least kind of gets us back to a home base where now from there we can say, okay, what is the right thing right now? What is the next right step? But it starts with coming back to this moment.
I guess I'm okay right now, so that's probably a good thing.
It's a good place to start.
Absolutely. Sean, in the article, you also have this phrase, or you have the statement, enhancing our skills and adaptability is really critical. Can you share with us a good example of one of those skills and how would we apply it today?
Sure. Well, I think I don't have to think back too far. Just us having this conversation together before we hit record, I told you they're doing some construction outside my house here. And I realized I had everything set up for our interview. And then as I'm hearing these hammers bang away in the background, I thought, this is not going to be good. So I had to relocate and change the microphone setup and all the things. And I appreciate your flexibility with that. To me, that's just a picture of the adaptability that's required. I mean, that's obviously on the simplest level. By the way, can you hear the dog barking in the background?
I can. That's okay.
Hang on. Well, it fits, and I've got a little something here. Hang on 1 second. Sorry. All right. Well, how appropriate that's in the section where we're talking about adaptability.
And that wasn't planned, folks.
As I was saying, adaptability, whether it's a technology or a dog barking, we never know. We never know what we're going to get from one moment to the next. And bigger picture than that, whether it's something like the pandemic that we all faced, which turned our lives upside down, whether it's, you know, technological advancement, AI, where, you know, more and more of us are being impacted by AI, parenting, I mean, you name it, in any space of life or work, we're going to face uncertainty and change. And so then our ability to adapt to that is really critical, because otherwise, you know, the faster we can adapt, the faster, the sooner we can get back to moving forward, versus if it knocks us down, leaves us spinning, then we're kind of stuck while life keeps moving forward. So adaptability, that's why I say that adaptability is such a critical skill. To drill down into a piece, you know, into detail there is the finding calm is one of the five C's that I share in my Adapt and Thrive book. And it's something I share when I speak. So that ability to find calm, to come back to this moment, that's critical. But then from there is the ability to find clarity. Clarity is something that I had to learn. There was a year that early in this journey, I went into the year, my word for the year was focus. And I thought, clarity is important. I mean, clarity, who do I want to be? Where do I want to go? What do I want to create? Because when things change, we need to know where we're going. So clarity is critical. But what I realize is that with that clarity, we also have to have flexibility. It's almost like they're two sides of the same coin, because while we need clarity, that doesn't mean I can be clear on where I'm going, but that doesn't mean that I'm in control of the circumstances. So we still don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next or one moment to the next. So clarity is what gives us flexibility, really. If we know ultimately where we're going, what we value, who we want to be, what is this company about? What do I want my life to be about? What do I want this relationship to be about? Then that kind of clarity gives us the flexibility to navigate as these changes come up, as these disruptions come up. Clarity balanced with flexibility is what I would say.
That's your five C's framework. What I'm curious about is when you talk about enhancing the skills and adaptability, is it something that you're mindful and say, okay, well, today we had some challenges with construction, we had the challenges of dog barking, and do you go back and reflect and say, okay, this is what I did and therefore I adapted? Or is it just something that you just need to be aware of all the time? Did that question make any sense?
Yeah, it does. And I guess I would say, I would give you the brilliant answer of saying both, because it really is both. But no, I think reflecting on, you know, on those instances in the past, looking at what we did in the past, it's always valuable to look back and see where if we did something that worked really well and think, okay, that was great. That was perfect. Let me do more of that and sort of strengthen that muscle, or realize that, you know what, I could have done better than that. I didn't account for those possibilities the way that I should have. I was a little absent-minded there. And I always emphasize being, you know, giving yourself grace, being forgiving. This isn't about being critical and getting down on yourself. It's just learning lessons from reflecting back on it. And then not only can we learn from that, and learning from what we did helps us be more prepared for the future, keeps sharpening those skills. But also when we look back and see that we did adapt, and whether it was the most brilliant demonstration of adaptability or whether we just got through it, what I find is either way, the more we adapt, then and the more we see that, hey, I got through that. There were some surprises there, and here I am on the other side of it. And maybe it didn't work out perfectly, but it's all okay. I talk about something, I call it the faith file, to create this faith file, which, and just fill it with evidence from the past of things you've done or things you've overcome. So then what I've found is now when new surprises come up, it's allowed me to be more flexible, to have more confidence that, hey, I don't know what's going to happen, but one way or another, it's going to be fine. And not in sort of this dismissive, defeated sort of way, but really in a confident sort of way. Like I can do this. And what I find speaking to apply this to the speaking space that those of us here in Toastmasters, it's a common experience is when I speak, I never know what's going to happen on stage. I mean, I'm as prepared as I can be, but every audience is different. Every room is different. And even though, you know, I'm well over a decade into speaking now, it never fails that something surprises me, whether it's a microphone that doesn't work or the PowerPoint doesn't work, whatever it is. It's like, huh, never had that happen before. But then there's that, you know, the need to adapt on the fly, but also having the confidence that, okay, we'll find a way through this. It's going to work.
I love the faith file. It's another thing to write down. And it reminded me of a moment. I recall when I first started walking on a regular basis. I walk every single day. I do my 10,000 steps a day. When I first started, 10,000 was a real struggle. And there are still a few days where I get to 8,000 or 9,000. And then I go back and I say, well, you know, one day when I was up in the Rocky Mountains, I did 25,000 steps in one day. So 10,000 should be really easy, right? Because you have that faith.
Yeah. No, that's a great example. That's, I mean, perspective, right? I mean, 10,000 on a normal day prior to that, like 10,000, that's going to be an accomplishment. And then you do 25,000, like, wow, okay. It changes your perspective on everything.
I used to say that 6,000 was a grind, 8,000 was a stretch, and 10,000 is a pipe dream. Now it's a regular occurrence.
I love that. Yes. And now you've got that in your faith file. So it's, yeah, exactly.
Calling it the faith file, I think that's absolutely brilliant. It'll be like my depository. So excellent.
Yeah. I love that. It's been very helpful to me.
Now, Sean, in the article, you shared that you see your theme of resilience reflected in Toastmasters history. How so?
Well, I think any organization that's lasted 100 years, just knowing, I mean, we know how much the world has changed just in the last 5 years, the last year. But you think about 100 years, all the change, think about where the world was 100 years ago. Just think about communication strategies and beliefs about communication and effective communication 100 years ago. So many things, everything has changed. And yet here's Toastmasters that's found a way to adapt from that early idea to, you know, have this gathering of people to now reaching thousands and thousands of people around the world. And here we are getting together for the 100th anniversary and, you know, technology that didn't exist 100 years ago, that takes resilience. It takes adaptability and resilience. So I just see Toastmasters as being a great example, a great demonstration that we can all learn from, and knowing that, okay, what are all the challenges in the last 100 years? Think about the wars, the Great Depression, the pandemic, everything. And yet here is Toastmasters, and we're still able to get together. There was a time where we thought, hey, maybe we'll never actually be able to get people in a room together again. And here we are, here is Toastmasters. So I think it's just a great shining example of adaptability and resilience that we can all be inspired by and we can all learn from.
Well, that's so true. Look how we went from in-person to online to virtual and now to hybrid and going strong going forward.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Sean, you'll be doing the opening keynote right after the Parade of Flags, and that's I'm pretty excited to hear about that. What can people expect from your presentation, and what do you hope they'll take away from it?
Well, as far as what they can expect, as I alluded to earlier, expect the unexpected. That's always a good rule of thumb going into a presentation. But no, it's when I speak, I'm a storyteller at heart, and I love sharing stories because what I've found is that it's in our stories. I share a lot of examples of these moments from my life and my story. And it's not because my story is so remarkable, but what I've just found is that if I share my story, then I know that in it, you'll find your story. And it's in our stories that we find connection. So the stories, there are heartwarming stories, there are funny stories. So I hope we can share that space together, that space of connection through story. But then I'll be sharing this 5 C's framework, which I've found to be just a solid foundation. These 5 C's, what they are, I'll just give everybody a sneak peek. So then you've got a head start and even more reason to register for the event. So you can go in. But it's if you can find calm, clarity, confidence, courage, and community in the midst of chaos, in the midst of change, those are the 5 C's that I've found to be foundational for adaptability. And certainly we could have 7 C's or 21 C's. Certainly there are other C's we could throw in, but these 5, if you can find a way to these 5 C's, you can meet any challenge, you can face any disruption and adapt and come out on the other side better than ever. That's my belief. That's my experience. And so I'm excited to share these 5 C's and some stories of learning about them, and then how do we apply them in our lives? That's the most important thing. What I want people to walk away with is to not only feel good and be inspired and be happy and feel connected and all that for the time that we're together in the room, but really to have some tools and some skills that they can go home with and apply them, because you know we don't know what's going to happen later today when you get back home. I feel like when you go to a conference or convention, it's always this amazing space. And then you get back home to the quote real world, and it's like, wow, how do I bring all that back? And so that's really what I want people to walk away with, is some practical tools and skills that they can use to meet the challenges of the day at home, at work, wherever they may be.
Well, Sean, obviously you've been successful at speaking, and I'm just curious, what advice would you give to someone who perhaps is just starting their journey in speaking and truly wants to make a meaningful impact?
Well, first of all, anybody that has that desire, I support you fully, because I've been on that journey myself, and I know the struggle of, first of all, having the idea, I think I could do this. I think I've got something to share, but yet I don't know how to do it. I don't know where to start. And so I understand the turmoil, or I appreciate the turmoil that comes with that. And what I would say is, going back to this theme of this moment matters, to say it's just one moment at a time, and to be patient and to persist, but follow that desire and ask, okay, what is the right thing right now? For me, it was, you know, it started with making the decision that, okay, I'm going to do this, and didn't know what I was going to speak about. And then the phrase "this moment matters" came to me, and it was just one step after another after another. I remember when I first set up my website, okay, this moment matters, and I set up a website that just said "coming soon." That was it. I didn't know what else it was going to be. So to just keep taking that next step, whether that's being a part of Toastmasters, going to that next group meeting, coming to the convention, what is the next step? And then trusting that when you take that step, you don't have to know anything beyond that next step. You take that next step and see where you are at that point, and then see what the next step is after that. The best advice I can give from my own journey is to not get bogged down in those details, and instead just trust your heart, take that next step, and then trust the process. And with determination, commitment, persistence, it'll take you where you want to go. And I would say it'd probably take you places even beyond where you have imagined that you could go.
Well, Sean, this has been absolutely delightful, and I can't wait to hear the entire keynote. And folks, it's going to be held on Wednesday, August 14th at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That is Coordinated Universal Time, UTC-7. I guess you can Google that. And it'll be happening following the Parade of Flags. Now, you can see it live in Anaheim, or you can also watch it live stream. And if folks, if you feel the same way that I do, please take the opportunity to share this episode with your friends and family and fellow Toastmasters. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. And Sean, before we wrap up, if you can let folks know where they can find you, your website, and I understand that you have a couple of offerings.
Sure, absolutely. Thanks, Greg. My website, as I said, seanellis.com, and my name is S-H-A-W-N, as I like to say, the correct way to spell it, but no offense to anybody out there who spells it differently, but it's S-H-A-W-N-E-L-L-I-S.com. And on my website, you can get a free copy of Adapt and Thrive, which is a little guide I created with the five C's. I've also got an online course, Rock the Reboot, that's really goes even deeper into all this. It's designed for anybody who's in a time of transition. Maybe you're sensing that you need to go down that speaking path. But it's really, whether it's in life or in business, these reboot seasons of life, these seasons where maybe it's like the rug has been pulled out from under you and you're starting all over. That's a reboot. Or maybe it's a time where you decide like, hey, I've got to go down this path. This is the thing I need to do. That's a reboot. And so this course is my guide, me coming alongside you to help you rock and make the most of that reboot. So that's all on my website. Love to connect with you there. I'm also on social media, all my social media handles. It's Sean Jason Ellis, S-H-A-W-N-J-A-S-O-N-E-L-L-I-S, at Sean Jason Ellis on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, wherever you are on the socials. I'd be happy to connect with you there. But Greg, I just want to say again, I'm honored and grateful. Thank you for this space today. I've loved talking with you, and I can't wait to see as many of you as possible in Anaheim. It's going to be an absolutely amazing event. I'm honored and grateful and excited to be there.
Thank you very much, Sean. Thank you. And we'll also put all that information in the show notes. And folks, also don't forget to check out Ruth Nezrula's profile on Sean Ellis in the June 2024 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. And you can also sign up for the convention at toastmasters.org/events. Once again, Sean Ellis, many thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you, Greg.
Ever imagined a book written just for you? Introducing Pooks.ai. We're not just another bookstore. We're the future of reading. Our state-of-the-art AI adapts each book to your specific needs, creating a personalized masterpiece. Visit Pooks.ai now. That's P-O-O-K-S.ai. And use the promotion code Spotify for a whopping 50% off. Pooks.ai. Your personalized book awaits.